and welcome to the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. My name is Luke Burridge, and this is the show where I review every single science fiction book that I read as I read it. No set schedule, blah, 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 all of that. Joining me today to talk about today's book is Juliana. Say hello.
Hello, everyone.
And what is the book today? Go for it.
The book today is Prominence by Anne Leckie, published on September 26th. 2017. Yeah, that was very smooth.
Very smooth. Kindle edition, 488 pages. So this is a pretty recent book, and it was recommended by a few people. And I read Anne Leckie's previous books, which was the Ancillary Justice, Ancillary
Mercy,
and Ancillary Sword. No, I think it's Ancillary Sword, then Ancillary Mercy.
Yes.
So the Ancillary Justice system, the Imperial Radish series. I'm not sure it's Radish, but let's say Radish, because I quite like the word. So it's the Radish Imperial series, and it won all the Hugos and the Nebulas and the Arthur C. Clarke Awards for the first book.
Quite enjoyed it.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Yeah. It was one of those books where, you know, you read the first one and you're like, wow, this is going to be hard to follow up. And the second book didn't really pay off, but then the third book kind of got back to where the first book was again. Yeah. It's like, okay, that paid off.
I enjoyed the first one a lot.
Yes, certainly the first book is the one that kind of captured the imagination. You know, you're spending time inside the brain of a spaceship who is then inside humans, but then like
by itself.
And I really like the flashbacks back to the time when the spaceship was a full spaceship. You know, really interesting science fictional problems in a world which was kind of well realized as well. I love the little social things that were going on beside the main story. For example, as a spaceship, she would sing, but because she, I'm not sure if it's a he or a she, but the usage in that book, because she would sing, but she could control lots of different people at the same time with the ancillaries, they would all sing together because she was controlling all of them. So she'd be like, okay, everyone sing this, and there'd be harmonies and it would always be singing. So it's like these nice little coloring details in the back of the background of this story, which added texture, added flavor. And there's lots of those little things all the way through that first series, you know, like the tea drinking and the, you know, different pronoun use and all those other kind of interesting quirks that made the overall story of double-crossing ancillaries and sort of like people with their personalities spread out across many bodies and sort of like them rebelling against each other, or rebelling against themselves. I don't even know how it works. Anyway, but there's a lot of that stuff going on. Really fun science fictional science fiction ideas with fun storytelling and interesting characters and stuff like that.
And it was very well thought through.
Like, yes.
It wasn't just, oh, we have a universe of things and this is it. No, it was like, she thought further than that.
Yes.
And we just got what fit to that story,
to that story. However, some of the storytelling I did find a bit weak. For example, in the end of the first book, the plan was, oh, I want to kill this person, so what am I going to do? I've got this gun and I'm just going to go in there and see what happens. And which was kind of a bit of a weakness for me at the end of that first story. And I always found it funny with the feedback, because people going, oh, it was a bit slow at the start where all these flashbacks happen and stuff. But then it really picks up towards the end. And I was like, oh, the first two thirds of that first book I really enjoyed. And then it kind of started falling a bit flat at the end. Anyway, all that to say, Anne Leckie does have some good stories in her, and some good storytelling, and some interesting science fictional ideas. Which brings us to Provenance, which I thought was almost complete garbage. I wouldn't say from beginning to end, because there was a section in the middle which I thought was quite fun. But, like, spoilers for this review, I mean, not spoiling the book, but spoilers, I really didn't like this book. I found it so unsatisfying and so pathetic on almost every level that it's not even worth ranting about. Maybe there will be a rant later, but it's such a disappointment to know that someone can write a book which wins the Hugo, the Nebula, the Arthur C. Clarke Award, the Locus Award, all the awards that first book won. And then a mere three books later, she's like cashing in on the good feelings that she's had on a previous series with just a pathetic story. There's nothing here. Anyway,
okay.
Tell me what you think.
Let's just say, first of all, it is set in that same universe, right?
Mm.
So it's the same kind of, how do you call them, sections of politics? No, there's...
factions.
Fractions, and the same kind of, here's this alien, there's that alien, and then there's the artificial intelligence and all. But that is all aside.
Yeah.
It's not even...
It doesn't have any impact on this.
I think it gets mentioned like three times over the course of the whole book.
There's what's happening in the background. There's going to be a treaty signing or something. Yeah, and they're getting together.
Conclave.
A conclave, a summit, whatever it is. And they're bringing together, okay, we've got these aliens here, and we've got these into artificial intelligence, and we've got the humans, and we've got the humans from the Radish Empire, and we're going to bring them all together, but it's going to take a long time to bring everyone together. Oh, it could take months, it could take years for us to get together. And I'm like, why? Just send? Like, isn't it? It seems to be quite easy to get around in this universe, go through the wormholes, whatever. But the Geck. And the interesting ones that we thought
and
from
the Omkin
were just another human faction. Again, it's sort of like the humans have their own factions and their own planets and their own races and their own languages and customs.
Oh, okay.
The aliens just are like monoculture. Yes. You know? So they have one representative from each alien race. But sure. Humans, we've got the these over here and that over there, and the Raj has got the artificial intelligence ships and stuff. Anyway, all completely in the background. Very little stuff comes from this book.
That is true.
So we follow the story in the head of Ingray Oxhold, who is one of it's the kind of character who is one of my least favorite military science fiction characters, which is the entitled son or daughter of a powerful political figure, and they have to make their way in the world and prove that they're the equal of their parents, or they have to make their way in the world and stuff like that. But there is no making, and this is more frustrating than Miles Vorkosigan, who yes. is the son of the prime minister of a solar system. Yeah. And then goes out in the sort of like, oh, I'm going to make my way in the world. I'm going to have adventures, and it's going to be all down to my plucky skills and stuff. And he does have like a plucky attitude and skills and things like that. But his father's the prime minister of a galaxy. Well, not galaxy, of a solar system or like, a space empire. Like, he gets given a ship. He just goes into officer training. It's one of those things where you just go, I kind of understand why in the fantasy novels they always get someone who's a farmhand and he has to work his way from being a farmhand up to a sorcerer and then a king and then takes over. Like, it's so annoying to hear people, like, to read the story of people who are, like, one step away from literally becoming, like, inheriting the name and the position of someone who is at the height of power in a solar system.
And that is what this book is about.
Yes.
It's not real. Of course it does have science fiction-y elements, and it is in space, and it has aliens and all this kind of stuff. But basically the story is about a child being adopted into a wealthy family and having to prove his stand against the others.
Yeah.
That's it.
There's the brother, the sister and brother, and it's like, oh, who's going to be named as the inheritor of the position and power of the mother? And the mother has set them up in opposition for each other. Yes, it's like a battle between them. You two have to fight it out between yourselves, and the one who's most worthy will take it. And what's the guy's name?
Danak
is sort of like, oh, there's no way I can get back to Danak, but this is my last roll of the dice. This is the last project that I'm gonna do. I'm gonna put in place, and I'm gonna spring this guy out of jail, and he's gonna come home, and I'm gonna get one over on Danak. And I was like, I know how this is going to work at the end. What's gonna happen is she's not going to expect it. She's going to get it, and then she's gonna turn it down because that's the story. That's the story path.
Are we already in spoilers?
No, that's not the spoiler. This is not a spoiler because this is what happens in these books. I know this is what happens. So she can get... It's such a goody two-shoes guy. It's the way to get sympathy for someone, to set them up, to give them the prize so they win the prize, but then not have them like, ah-ha-ha, I win against my brother and I'm cold and calculating and it all won and things like that.
Okay, let me. Can I just interrupt here?
Yeah,
because
okay.
I want to kind of get my points in before... Before you can all tell all the points before I have any say.
Go for it.
There are three points in this book that get repeated over and over and over again. It's like it's bashing into your face. Like she thinks, oh, the reader needs to really understand. They really need to get it. And one of those things was the
heir to the thing.
So I now just typed into the Google Kindle edition in the search. Searching for air, and it comes up 195 times.
No, because it's also coming up with there. Air.
Well, anyway, it is about...
You've got to put a space first. Air. There you go. So, Oh no, all comes to Earth.
Anyway, so it's this thing that comes up like constantly. And of course then every individual kind of intelligent reader knows, okay, this will be the problem. She thinks she isn't good enough. She thinks the brother is good enough, but then she will get it anyway and turn it down.
Yes, this is the only story.
I know it.
Yes.
Everyone will know it.
This is that. That's why I say it's not a spoiler. You're saying it's a spoiler territory already. It's like saying no at the end of a Marvel movie. There's going to be a big action scene where there's going to be a special effects fight. You know, it's that when it's set up this way. Oh no, I couldn't possibly do this. Oh no, I couldn't possibly. And it's just like shut the fuck up. You're obviously going to win your mother's approval. Yeah, it's obviously going to happen. And then at the end, she's sort of like, and then my mother said, and my knees went weak. And I'm like, no, they don't, because you've been expecting this. We've been expecting this.
And also, that this little, I don't know how you call it, this kind of way of writing.
Yeah.
But it's like, we get this once with this, so we know repeating thing, what that means.
Yeah.
But then there are at least three other things where that happens.
Yes.
One is, oh, is this Pollard? No, it isn't Pollard. Yeah. Oh, no, I know this will be Pollard because she doesn't think it is Pollard.
Yeah.
So that's one. Then the other one is shoes at the end.
Why are they talking about the shoes? What's going on? And
I
hair
don't
clips.
Know.
Hair clips as well. They're always like, oh, and my hair clips wouldn't stay up like that.
I was like,
oh, so the hair clips are going to be a major plot point later
they're
on.
They're
going
to be important. And it just gets dropped. I don't know what is important about the hair clips.
I know, but that was the thing. She was constantly talking, oh, my hair clips won't stay in place, my hair clips won't stay in place, my hair clips won't stay in place, hair clips, hair clips, hair clips. And then at the point, there's this action sequence at the end. At the point you think, now this is going to be it. Someone takes the hair clips away and puts them in a thing. And I was like, oh, the hair clips are going to be a kind of robot. Like, you know, it's going to be the robot pilot specialist is going to, he's actually going
Use
to bring
them
together.
Something.
They're going to come together and actually they're tracking chips or something like that, and then they're just ignored. And at the end, the thing with the shoes, I made a note of that as well. Let me actually bring up my notes here, because at the end they're like, oh, and take these shoes, they're not my shoes. I don't understand why the hair clips are mentioned or why the shoes were mentioned all the time.
And she keeps saying, oh, these were not my shoes,
and they're like, take the shoes anyway. And I'm like, is this a joke? What is going on? I didn't get it.
I thought there would be something that I missed, you know, like something very obvious. Okay, it is tick, like shaping into shoes.
Yeah, like what's gonna be?
But it was never.
And
revealed.
Then like, no, take these shoes, and I'm like, there's gonna be. He slipped a gun into the shoes. He slipped his force wield into the shoes.
Or the
shoes.
Bell. The thing.
The fabric paper thing that just disappeared at the end. The entire end section. I was just like, what was all of that? You were setting up the head. This is like we were talking about in that previous book, where like the brain in the body, it's sort of like, stop telling us that the brain in the body isn't a real human thing. And then they said, oh, there isn't a thing there. The thing that you keep, like, it's the foreshadowing.
You're
like
building up attention.
Yeah. And that's the thing with this foreshadowing that they have, where some of it is so heavy-handed and then it pays off exactly as you expect it to. Yeah. And there's this other really weirdly heavy-handed foreshadowing about hair clips, and then at the end with shoes, and then at the end with other
and
things.
And one other thing is that keeps mentioning, and I have no idea what you asked me yesterday about it. It's about the murder. And I think I thought like, oh, this is clever, and this will be this and that and this.
Let's go into a bit more detail about that. So there's this main quandary. She brings someone out, and then up until some point, there was this kind of fun, break someone out of prison, take them to their home planet. They're going to help you get revenge on your brother. And then some more, like very conveniently, like we were saying before, it's very convenient that this happened. How convenient that they just met up with someone, and how convenient that they were together with someone who has a history with them, and then just conveniently booked a passage on this trip, and then very conveniently got through there. So whatever. Oh, and then when they arrive, there's these things that are being hidden, and two people are there to help, like to do an archaeological dig on some field somewhere. And then they're like, actually, what I did, this person says, when I left, I hid these things in that field. And it's sort of like, wow, that is a massive coincidence, and it's a lie. But then it's so much of a blatant coincidence that it, the lie that they tell in the book isn't convincing enough, that then Danak would actually believe that. I'm like, these are skilled political operatives. These are people who have been training their entire lives to be, like, scheming and conniving and doing that kind of stuff. How can they be taken in so easily with the lie? And then, because it's too convenient. Like, I don't believe anything that happened in this book because everything just conveniently slotted together.
The whole lying and not knowing and telling the truth.
It's so obvious.
Pathetic.
Yeah, it's like,
and also, you know, when there is a story and there is a mystery.
Yeah.
And this story sets up like, I don't know,
like three or four. Ten
mysteries, and they all turn out to be lies or not important.
Yeah. But that was the thing. Anyway, what I'm saying is that there was this, once they get set up and they're in the field, and then they go there with this archaeological dig, and then one of them dies, and they're like, oh, it wasn't me, and it wasn't you, so it must have been this guy. And then they said, oh yeah, it was that guy, but we're going to pin it on this guy. But it was that other guy. And they're like, yeah, of course it was that other guy. And I'm like, it's not going to be the other guy because he took...
We were thinking way too clever
The point is, the story that I thought was going to be told, this is not a spoiler because this doesn't happen. Like, this is just one idea that I was having.
But then you spoil it. Other people will have the same thought.
You can't spoil this kind of stuff because it's such bad storytelling. That's the thing. Like, they set this up. This drone that killed this person is very, very difficult to pilot, and nobody here had the connectors in their brain to be able to pilot it. And even if they did, they wouldn't have had the training to do it, so it's going to be really difficult for anyone to have piloted this drone. We find out, like, one chapter later, that there was somebody else there who, via a drone that he was piloting, was in that same situation. And this person, we find out then and later, happens to be a world expert on drone piloting, on robot
and that
piloting.
Gets repeated at the end, over and over again.
And then at the end, like, I'll get onto this bit at the moment, but they talk about this. Oh, what about this? It could have been this. What about this political faction doing this? What about this going on like that? And then they said, oh, it must have been this person. Well, of course it was that person. And the conclusion was like, yeah, it was that person that they said in chapter 12, in chapter 8 of the 20 chapters or whatever it was, the person that they thought was the murderer, and all of the red herrings that they set up around it were nothing. And what I thought was going to be the interesting thing, that actually the drone was there, took over this other drone, killed him, and we're going to actually put it all back onto this hero captain person, and he was working for the other company and the other planet.
Personally, I thought at some point it was way too much politics that went so over my head, and I didn't care at all.
Yeah.
And there were so many, like, I didn't even understand what fraction was planning what behind which back.
It didn't matter.
It was just too much. And there was never a clear, okay, let's just take the big wool, a knot of wool, and just take out all the individual strands and then make them nice and neat.
Yeah.
That was never done in my head.
It was a big political mess.
So disappointing.
Yeah.
And because it was all set up to be, it seemed to be very clever.
Yes.
But then it all faded away.
So let me just say a little bit about my reading experience of this book. I read quite a bit of this. I read up to about 74% of it by my Kindle, the ebook. On my last work trip. And then I was like, I'm going to stop reading now. I'm going to wait for Juliana to catch up. So then I was going to read it, but then I left my iPad at Juliana's parents' place the other day. So Juliana finished it. And I was like, okay, I'll just finish it off on my phone. So I went to about 70% or wherever I thought it was. It turns out this is the worst place, the 100% worst place in the book to have paused for a few days and not read the book for 5 days or whatever it was, and then to come back to it. Because everything that had happened up to that point was things happening.
Right.
Again, it wasn't the best storytelling, but it was setting up everything which was going to then be in the climax. And the climax starts at about 70% of the way, where she goes into this hostage situation. And you think, it's all going to go down. All the players are going to come together. We're going to find out what happens. But we don't do that. Instead, we have literally 10% of the book is Ingrid, the character, talking through and thinking through everything that she's learned so far in the book with two other characters and one other, no, three other characters, whatever it is. Yeah. So like just talking through the politics, talking through the motives, going, well, what about this one? Well, I think this. Well, I think this. Well, okay, it must have been that kind of thing. Then after talking through all of this, none of it was confirmed. None of it was like acted upon. What was going to happen happened anyway. And in the last 30% of the book, nothing, Ingray does nothing except at one point throw a glass of water at something. That's it. Everything up until that point, she has been doing stuff and making decisions and making plans. And then 70% of the book through to the end of the book, like up until 95% or wherever it cuts off and goes into acknowledgements or whatever and extra readings, she doesn't do anything except talk about the motives of people beforehand in such a shallow way. And I'm like, this should have, this is already in my head. If this is true, it's in my head. You can't just have two characters talking and thinking about it to confirm it. And then, oh, that is what happened. It's like, yeah, you have to act on this. And it's never acted on. Nothing is acted on. All of the stuff about like the provenance, like the book is named after the provenance of whatever, her provenance, that she's a plucky somebody who was plucked out of obscurity in a in an orphanage or something. And then like she's like where she doesn't, she has to remember where she's come from or whatever like that. But then on the real like foreground stuff, there's all these vestiges, which are these like memorabilia that comes from the past, and it's the kind of thing that they can tie their identities to, the vestiges. And there's, what's the provenance of them? Are some of them fake? Are some of them real? Are the ones that real important? Are the ones that fake are important? All that kind of stuff. And all of that's playing in, and in the end, that pays off to nothing. There's just nothing there at all. Like, once you get down to it, the last 30% of the book is some of the most disappointing storytelling I've ever read. And that's saying something in almost 10 years of reading this, that, like, after such three good books to set this up, like, this is set in the same world, by the same author, the first half of the book was kind of, you know, like I say, a bit twee.
She was doing something
and things are happening and it was going somewhere. And then the last 30% of this book, all action stopped and it became literally nothing was happening except them talking about stuff. And all the stuff that was set off wasn't paid off. Anyway, it was so disappointing, this end of the book, which is why I gave it a 1 star on Goodreads, because I'm impressed by how bad this book can be. Yeah. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Like, it's amazing that somebody can write a good book like Ancillary Justice and that whole series, and then write this and release this. How did Anne Leckie think this was good enough? How does anyone think this is good enough to be a follow-up book to a massively award-winning series? It makes me angry that this is what's happening in the publishing world today, that someone could read this book and go, yeah, that's good enough, because it is good enough for her to just put out this book, because she's got all this goodwill behind it. Like, nobody could write this and get it out as a first novel unless, well, in today's publishing world, you can, because you can get a good following on your blog or on your podcast or whatever like that, and you can get together a big enough following of people who like you as a writer, not so much as a novelist or as a writer. But Anne Leckie didn't do that. She did the hard work of writing a really good novel and a really good series. And like, why? Like, it makes me angry that someone can write something this bad, put it out, and someone go, oh yeah, there's no problems with that. Like, how could the editor read that and go, okay, hair clips. Tell me why you're writing so much about hair clips. Like, is there any defense about how many times hair clips are put into this book?
It's 17 times.
You looked 17 mentions of hair clips and it comes to nothing. And that's what I was saying before about the background stuff in Ancillary Justice. Like, the whole idea of like, oh, you have to wear gloves, don't let anyone see the hands. It's like colour in the background. You know, the different customs that the people have is colour in the background. And this is a book about all of those customs have come to the foreground. You understand, like this book.
Are you sure you're not mixing this up with the fox?
Nine Fox Gambit.
Yeah.
No,
with the gloves.
No.
They
even
also
in,
have gloves.
It's both of these. characters having to wear gloves in one of the social things is having to wear gloves and having your hands covered up is kind of a common trope in science fiction and fantasy.
Oh, okay.
I think it says in this book, hands were uncovered. No, it's not in this one. It's only in the Radish Empire where it is. So in this book, when I think it's a an ambassador turns up. The Radish Empire ambassador, yes. The Gek, is sort of like, oh, and she's wearing gloves, or she's not wearing gloves, or whatever it is. Like, there's a bit of a mention there.
Sure.
Like, but again, all of these things are brought to the foreground. Like, what are the vestiges? Oh, it's a weird little custom. What about this custom of these other people where two people have to hang out together, but or they travel together, but then they're not allowed to talk to each other or look at each other and acknowledge each other? It's like, yeah, but why? Why? What about that? Whereas in the previous books, that was kind of colour. That was interesting world building. Here, it's the story. The story is these things. But then it's not paid off.
It does feel a little bit like this was actually the first book. and then she went out from that point to...
What's the Radish Empire doing over here?
Yeah. You know, it feels like she had this story before she had those other things. It seems just like not like ready. It seems like so basic. You know, like all the problems.
But it's not only basic. I don't mind a basic storytelling.
Yeah, like, but there's no solutions to all the things.
That's what I'm saying. This isn't
up.
Basic. Basic storytelling is kind of competent. If this was just a space adventure or just a fun political story or like a coming of age story or I'm going to get back at my brother story. If it was any of those things, but a basic version of those, I would be like, okay, not for me, but you know, for what it was. Fine. You know, like, I read plenty of fantasy novels or, like, science fiction novels, which are, like, you know, the young adult stuff, which is, like, okay, basic, but fine. Like, not anything new. Like, the story I expected, it's, like, the basic coming-of-age story. I can't think of any examples off the top of my head, but there's plenty of stories which will be a perfectly good 2.5-star book for me because it is just basic storytelling, and it's fine. This is incompetent patheticness. Like, the story is pathetic. The characters are pathetic. There is nobody in this book which I can identify with in a way which is allowing me to get into the story.
Yeah.
There are characters, there's cool characters in this book. Yeah. There's interesting characters in this book.
But there were always bits like where I didn't quite understand all the characters. There were always bits to all the characters where I thought, oh, this is not... This doesn't seem to be quite genuine, you know? There was always like, oh, is this actually real, what I'm thinking now? Or is it just a play on me?
And it's the main character is so naive, and she's meant to be a political operative who's going to go on and become... And I'm just like, is this a comment on this entire society? That the entire society is so inbred and it's all nepotism. Like, the only way to get a job is to be the daughter or son or... whatever the gender neutral, like the offspring of a thing, the adopted child of someone who goes on. Is this like a fall of the Roman Empire kind of thing where everything is so decadent and pathetic that the people who can succeed in this place are decadent and pathetic? And that's what this is about, that everyone is playing them from the outside. But it seems like at the end, it's like, no, they have a triumph that this civilization or this society wins through and wins against these other ones. And I'm like, it's so juvenile and pathetic that I can't believe this is even a satire on this kind of thing. Obviously, there's some satirical comments about it, but... Like,
I didn't get that.
The spaceship captain, who's the bot pilot, I'm like, wow, this guy's really shady and is doing all of this kind of stuff and is taking advantage of things. And then in the end is like, and you're a hero and you're offered a job here. And I'm like, wait, go back. He's playing this whole situation. Like, isn't he a conniving person
Everyone
as well?
Everyone knows what he's done.
And then the Gek, they're like, oh, we'll do this and we'll get this person out by playing the rules and rules lawyering this and getting away. Oh, I'll claim to be this person over here and this will get me out of this. And at the end, they're like, oh, let's just fudge all the rules. I'm like, this is the most unsatisfying political plotting stuff and spycraft because it's all pathetic.
Yes.
I don't know. There must be other words that I can use, but it just feels like, bleh. And like I say, it was only up until 70% that I realised how pathetic it was going to be.
And that makes, when you were sitting on the couch yesterday and you're saying, oh, I know who killed the person. And I said, just keep reading. I couldn't say anything because it was never a thing. And this is what happened in this book. Up until 70%. You get quite a thing, yeah? There is a story, something is happening, and you think, oh, this is all setting up, all the politics, it's all great, and then it is like, flop, you fall in a hole, a black hole, and you think like, where's everything gone? Where's everything that I expected gone? And I think this is what this book is. It lets all expectations down.
Yes.
Every single one of them. There's not even one where I thought, oh yes, so... yes, it turned out the way I thought. Well, it did turn out the way I thought, but it was like put on my head over and over
punched
and over
into
over
your
again.
Face, yeah.
So there are two things I want to talk about.
Oh no, can I just say just one analogy?
Once you get to the thing.
Just as an analogy, this book felt like playing a kind of a fun, satisfying board game. Like you learn a new board game for the first time and there's all these different cards and you're going through and you're picking up, oh, what's this one? Oh, on this turn you can do this and this and this. And it's like, oh, I wonder what that person's got over there. And I wonder what person that's got. Oh, what cards have they got? And you've got this whole board set out and all the pieces are set up and it's coming to the end game and it's like, okay, this is the last turn around the board and it's going to take 30% of the board game, but this is the last turn. Everyone's going to go around and show their hands. And everyone goes around and shows their hands, and everyone's got blank cards. And then at the end, the last person shows their card, and it's just like, I win. And it's like, wait, how can you have a card which just says, I win? It's like oh yeah, one of the cards is just, I win, and everyone else had blank cards. And you're like, wait, that can't be how the board game ends. You can't just have a card and turn it over at the end. It's sort of like, doesn't matter what happened, I just win. And you're like, oh, and that's what it felt like. It's sort of like up until that point, it was like, oh, I wonder what's going on there. And I wonder what the truth of that situation is.
Yeah.
And everyone turns the cards over. They're all blank except one. I win.
Well, who won then?
It doesn't matter. But that's how I'm saying that's how unsatisfying it is.
The thing is, I don't see anyone winning. It's like everyone turns their cards around and all of them are blank. There is not even a single one I win. It's just like, it just disappeared.
And then the person who wins is sort of like, oh, my mother's really important, I'll win. And everyone's like, okay, you win. And then she's like, oh no, my brother can win. And everyone's like,
I don't want to win. I'm such a humble person. I don't want to win.
I know. It's just that. That situation that she gets into at the end, the hostage situation, it's like the... I was talking about the, the latest James Bond movie, Spectre. And at the end of that, he's like, well, what's your plan in this movie? And he goes, well, I've got this gun. I'm just going to go into this building. And they're like, okay. And then the next situation, like, what's your plan going in here? And he's like, well, I don't have a gun, but I know this person. So I'm just going to go into this building. And everything just works out. He like gets in the right place. And then the next situation, what's your plan here? It's like, I'm just gonna start driving this car and something will happen. Okay, and they just do that. And then the end thing, he's going into the MI5 building, which is gonna be blown up. MI5, MI6, whichever one it is, it's gonna be blown up. And you're like, oh, okay, here we go. This is gonna be good. What's his plan? He's like, well, I've got this gun. I'm just gonna go in. And you're like, oh. Oh, that was it. That was your plan. It was like, oh, I'm just going to go in. And the whole movie was just James Bond just going, oh, I'm just going to go in. And you're like, wow, that's so unsatisfying. And that's what this was like. You're going to come up with a plan. You always come up with a plan all the way through the book. She has come up with some plans. And you're like, oh,
yeah,
that's good.
Our plans never...
No. Actually, no, it's good because some of them do. Like, oh, I'm going to pretend the bot, you're this bot, but pretend you're this other bot. Okay, that's good. Yeah, and a few of the plans work out.
But then the thing is, throughout the whole thing... There is the plan. Oh, this bot does this.
But
then she gets confused. She doesn't even know anymore.
She doesn't even get it right. But at the start, she's like, I'm going to spring this person out of prison and it's gonna get me my thing. It's going to work and I'm going to become the door.
That plan worked.
But at the end, all the way through, it's like, oh, just go in there. You'll come up with a plan. You always do. You just wait 10 minutes and you think of a plan. And she has been thinking of plans and they have worked out. And at the end, she goes into this hostage situation and she's like, I'm going to think of a plan. And you know what? She never thinks of a plan. 30% of the book all the way through is like, you'll think of a plan. And then she ends up thinks of a plan. And the brother's like, oh, you're just in the right place at the right time. And she was like, yeah, I kind of was. And I was like, fuck, don't do that to me. Don't just have someone in the wrong place at the right place at the right time with no plan and just win. It's so unsatisfying.
But then she got upset because he said this.
Yes, and it's like...
Because I was not there. I did do that on purpose.
She did go in on purpose. She went in without a plan on purpose and it all just worked out. And I was like, you can't just go in without a plan. Not do anything, and what you do ends up getting someone shot. They say, don't do that or we'll shoot, and then she does it and someone gets shot. It's like, oh, but she survived. The person who got shot survived. So it's fine. And I'm like, she's in intensive care. That's not a win for anyone. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
And then what actually happened is all just covered up. They're like, oh, we've got an official story, which what we'll say happened. And
you are the hero.
Yeah, so we'll just say that you're the hero. She's like, great, I'm the hero. I'm just like, why didn't she get shot? It
would
have been so much more satisfying if the book had ended with her getting shot in the head. Like, I wanted her to end up dead or crippled from the neck down.
No!
That's the payoff for someone who is that arrogant and that privileged and just walks into situations where, like, oh, my family ties will keep me through this, it'll be fine. I'm just like, fuck
now,
you!
I don't think that it was quite that way. I'm just saying
that's my emotional reaction at the end.
Well, my emotional reaction at the end was, why is she so whimsical? Why is she so whiny? Why is she so incompetent at all? Like, there was no, okay, let's get together and make a plan. And then who were these two characters from the Homakin? Commander Chili and Commander
Smacky Mungumi.
And then they're like, okay, that one person speaks Barbariat, or the language, really
language,
well.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, that must be a thing. Yeah. It must be a thing. Why is that person speaking that language so well?
He was an ethnologist.
So well?
He studied their culture.
Yes, but nothing.
No, it doesn't
These people
mean, no,
just disappeared. No. They have no real...
There was purpose. Just hostage situations. Like, oh, we've got to have some gunfighting or hostage situation. Yeah. And then it's like, okay, let's have it. And then what? How does it pay off? No payoff.
No, but that's kind of the book. So... Let me come to
Okay,
this.
But your two okay. points, your two points.
My yeah. two points. So, yeah. On Goodreads, I think some people wrote, oh, what I liked about this book was the explorations of the gender.
Yes.
Can
about
we talk
it?
About that? So, like...
The personal pronouns.
Well, I think it was kind of when I was about 20% into the book or something. We had a conversation via messages, because you were on a cruise.
About... On a work trip, yeah.
What is the best way to get off, especially in English, out of this he, she, it situation, right?
We need gender neutral personal pronouns.
Yes, we need one that works as a singular and a plural.
No, we have plural. They is plural.
Yes. Okay. Well, if we keep they.
No, we do keep they. They is plural gender neutral. That's what we want.
Okay. So we do have plurals. So we can't use anything that sounds like a plural.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we don't understand which is... We can't use they and they,
we've
right?
talked about so, this. We talked about this on the two,
episode
350.
We talked about this before, but also, we had a quite an intense... Another of that conversations where you send me lots of blog posts, and you sent me a whole list of possible pronouns from A through to Z. You went through all the consonants and made up...
No, okay.
Or whatever it
Look,
was.
If we're going to get into this, I've got to do a little bit more, because I did some research about this.
And I think it fits with this book, because...
Okay, let's talk about it now.
Because there was a certain new kind of way, for me new, to do the gender thing. Let me put one thing first.
Yeah.
She did something with pronouns. I understand that. Halfway through the book, it goes like the ambassador of the humans for the Gek or something. Says like, and then... She or he or who gives a shit? Kind of like this.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? It went like, oh, yeah, it's he or she. Or,
no, like, that was actually... No, I understand that. Because that's from someone from the Radish Empire. In the Radish Empire, they don't have... They don't have a gender-neutral personal pronoun. They just call everyone she, which is what they did in the previous three books.
No, exactly. It wasn't that. Because that person changes gender sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah, so it is she or he.
Yeah.
That was specifically, not just she.
No, was saying she, he, or whatever, because she didn't know if they were male, female, or whatever. That's the whole problem. So I understand what you're saying, but it was a point where she herself didn't know if somebody was he, she.
Yeah.
She didn't know
and
the gender.
And it sounded so much like a comment on that whole pronoun thing.
Yeah.
But then, and like in this book, in comparison, like totally opposite to the other books where she just went with she, there in this book, she went with a new to me pronoun concept, which at the beginning, probably like 20% into the book, I didn't even realize was happening, because I can tell you, it read to me like an accent. It read to me like a dialect.
Yeah.
Like, you know, in My Fair Lady, where they have like, all right, E, and then she has to practice the sound, you know? Hartford, Hereford, and Hampshire.
Yes.
This kind of stuff. And so what happens is that they left out the H.
No, or the SH.
Yeah.
Or the TH.
In a dialect, you would leave out a H and be left with an E.
Okay.
So instead of he, it's E.
Okay.
And this is what I thought happened. And then you pointed out, it was there in my face the whole time, thinking like, oh, this is really, really not a good way of saying it.
Yeah. Okay. So to get to the bottom of this problem, science fiction writers have come up with, not just science fiction, lots of people have come up with many different solutions to the, is it a he, is it a she, and if it is not he or she, what is it? Like, to get the gender neutral. Now, it turns out that they have this very interesting word called hen, because the masculine, if you say someone about like he or she, masculine is han and the feminine is hon. So you got han and hon. So what's going to be the gender neutral is hen, because they're like, okay, great, because the male one starts with a H, ends with an N, and has an E in the middle. The other one starts with a H, has an N at the end.
You just use a different vowel.
You just use a different vowel. Okay. And that can work in Swedish because there is an obvious way to work out what to do it. The problem with English is that there is no one way to change one vowel or one consonant to keep it consistent across the entire she and he. She and he, you can do something. You can just pick out a different start letter.
No.
But then her ends with E-R and him ends with I-M. So what new first letter are you going to get to? Like with, let's say, B, because I've just got it here. You've got B, so he turned, and she can turn into B. But then if you're going to say her, it's going to be Burr. Or if you're going to say him, it's going to be Bim. But then, so you can't just change the first letter. So what do? You've got to change the first letter and change a vowel and change an ending one. So there's no easy way to get to the bottom of this problem in English.
Let me just tell the listeners here. Luke has here a spreadsheet.
Well, I wasn't going to get to that
quite
yet.
With a whole, like, list of like, he actually went through all of them.
Yeah.
Like,
let me get to this.
This is very impressive.
So here, there's lots of different ways that the way you can do. So one way is to come up with an entire new set. But the problem with that is that people have to learn a new word and learn individually all of the different declensions to go, is it possessive? Is it, what are the other ones? I brought something up here. So you've got to have something nominative, the subject, objective. So he, him, possessive determiner, his, possessive pronoun, that is his, you know, so his eyes and something belonging, something of his or something belonging to him. And then the reflective, himself. So you've got himself, herself, itself, themselves, and its and theirs and theirs and all that kind of stuff. So you've got these different declensions. And so you need, either you have to invent a new beginning to the word and all new declensions, which is actually too much for people to understand. In English, it's too much to ask. And you can tell it's too much to ask because people have been proposing this for 300 years or 200 years. And I made a list of all the different proposals that I can found from different websites. Yeah. And that you've got ear, ero, imkim, chi, chis, and chim, him or her, him, his and her, and hit. Here is Z, Zim, Z's himself, Na, Na, Nanself, Sir, Sim, Sim, G, Jim, Jama, and G and June, which is like
Then there are the ones that you can read,
yeah,
but have no idea how to pronounce
yes,
them.
Yes, and this is the big thing. So the problem that Anne Leckie has fallen down with is that she's got a use which is visually distinctive and doesn't have that many new declensions that you've got to learn, except by missing off the first letter, you're actually removing information to bring it down to an E, an S, is like E and S, and then air, which is like the leaving off the, not just the front of the he or she or his, es, you're actually missing out the of there. But then, like, why are you using the root, the plural pronoun gender neutral root, to get to the singular possessive of there? You know, it doesn't make sense to just drop the information at the start. At one point they're saying air, air. And I'm like, you know, because we're all, who is the heir of the title? It's sort of like, who is heir's heir? Or like the heir of air. And I'm like, why am I reading? Like, how could you write that sentence? Air, 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 air. Missing up there.
For this book, I would be very, very interested in hearing how the audiobook works.
Yes, it can't, because he did this. What's it in like? So the problem is missing out information about the first letter. You can't just miss off the first letter because you're not left with anything. You can't, like, there is no way to know, oh, he did that. Oh, did he do that?
Yeah, because it sounds like a dialect.
Yeah, and it's sort of like, oh, that's good for him. And it's like,
it's even used, people do talk that
yes.
way, but they're using this to say him
or them.
Yes. So it is already in use.
Sock it to him. It's like, sock it to him, sock it to M. Is it like, let's take the fight to, it's difficult for me to put this on this voice.
Because it is already in a dialect and it
yes.
is already used. You can't use it for something
but
new.
But the point is, you can't have a word which drops information, it drops a sound and drops information about the word to
make something new.
To make new meaning. You can't get a word, reduce its meaning by removing part of the word to know its root, and then inventing other declensions for it, and then adding back the meaning for what these words work. It doesn't work. And I think I would feel less strongly about this book if they'd actually done something with it.
Yeah.
This is not an exploration of gender. This just has some gender-neutral people in it, which is then a language exercise. And then it's a failure at the language exercise.
Yeah.
So what I did, this chart that Juliana's talking about is like, okay, so we're going to try and keep the declensions the same. So if something is B, it has to be Burr or Bim, and then hers or Burr's or his will be Biz, and then Bimself and Burrself, I'm not too worried about that. So the problem is that if you actually use these words, they can be different words. So all of these words have problems. Like, you can't say B did that because B is already a word, you know, and biz is a word, like a business and stuff like
and
that.
C.
Yeah. And C is sort of like, C did this. C did that. Really? You can't really. And sim
Me.
And sirs and sis and sis and sis and stuff like that. And then with a hard C or a K is key did this. No, key is a word already. Him becomes Kim, which is a name. Kim did this. Oh, does this belong to Kim? Or I don't know.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, no, that's already a name. And curse sounds like curse. And there's other ones which you can't really do. Like J doesn't work because, like, if someone messes up the declension of, instead of saying jers, insert hers, they go, oh, well, I'm just going to use the male root to this and say jizz. It's like, no, you can't say jizz. And there's some other ones as well. If you use the qu, like a qu or kdoli, like qu thing, like you get quer and then quim, and you're like, and quiz. You're like, well, quiz, it doesn't matter if you say quiz, like it's his, it's quiz instead of quers. But then quim, now you don't want to be saying quim. So there's a few. Oh, and piss is like, oh, that is piss. I mean, it's his. I'm trying to say it's his, but gender neutral his. So anyway, I went through all of these, and there's the one which actually comes out the best is the V sound, because there isn't ver,
yeah.
V, ver, and vers, viz, and, you know, so viz can be like vis-a-vis, but it's not like an English word. But and vim is a word, but it's not a very common word. So, but the way that this is being used before actually has a name, doesn't it, on this one? It doesn't have. No, Spivak is E and M and Air.
Yeah, so this is what she uses.
No, but she doesn't use A laughed or E laughed as in EY. It's
no,
just
E
as a certain thing.
Yes.
But yes, this invented pronouns, this comes from 1970 and is used in a few science fiction books, including Alistair Reynolds, and he uses V and Ver and Viz. And not only does it, you can't, it doesn't get confused with other names, because there is no Ver and V and Viz.
I think that was the one that I actually think
is
it came to best.
But most importantly, you can't have Z or Z and stuff like that, because there's too many words which belong to, which precede his or hers, which also end with an S or an S sound. Like, it's too many. And I went through and worked out that the only thing that V has, like, is of. So if you say it's one of his, you know, one of his, or one of viz, you know, like, it's, so to get that general gender neutral one, that's the one thing. And it is used a bit, but I think it's different enough from an of, like with a F sound.
Off.
It's one of viz.
One is more like, it's
an F sound and a V sound. Yeah.
A dry sound, and the other one has a bit more of a noise in it.
Yeah, a V like that. So there is a slight difference there, but there's very few words which end with V which go into it. And I found myself reading this book with this in mind, because of course this is what we had this conversation about. And I was trying this out at actually all the times that this came up in these conversations and in the book, that there would be a word which would be followed by S, no, M in this book. So yeah, like M. Some M and E and air. And every time I was getting there, I was like, this doesn't work in spoken language. This would be an awful audiobook to listen to because it would be so difficult. Every time you get to that word, you'd have to kind of like almost pause before
yeah.
E did this. Oh, what is E doing today? Like, what is Z doing today? Is like, if it was a S sound or a Z sound, and yeah. I saw these Zs as well proposed lots of anywhere. Z and then an X. Sometimes there's an XE, but pronounce Z. That's the problem, okay. Like that. Well. So there's all of these different issues going in here. And I said in episode 350, where we were talking about, you know, we mentioned this issue before, I said, it's not up to me to decide what should be used here. But I think I'm making a stand. Not E, not as in this book.
Yeah.
Like, you don't get to decide general gender pronouns because you haven't done the research. Literally, I did research here. I made a whole spreadsheet of putting different starting names on top of the common declensions, like the personal pronoun declensions, and V comes out ahead. There are, but and also you could do some like longer ones, so like an SH, but then it goes she and TH, well then you're into there and stuff
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
And I tried them out, but I like V because it all of them are the same length.
Yeah.
You know, so you'll know using V because V is just VE, which is the same as he and we, you know, that kind of
yes.
thing. Like, not she, but it's a bit longer. And then ver is three letters long, but you know it can't be vers because then that's four letters long, so it's actually viz. Okay, so you get the female declension and the male declension if it's... so you don't say vim, you say ver, and you don't say vers, you say viz, because then you get the right number of letters. It's always
yeah.
three letters.
Okay.
And that wouldn't work with a lot of other beginnings and ends as well like that. So.
Yeah, I think there are other languages, like, I think English is particularly difficult
it
to
is.
Come up with one.
Like, say Swedish,
and
they just go,
like,
oh,
Swedish,
we'll just use an
yeah.
E instead of an A and an O.
And in Turkish... You don't even have this whole thing.
Yes, it's
you
great.
You just say one, it's just one way of saying it, and then
yeah.
just by, people don't, I don't know how they do it. I need
yeah.
to ask a Turkish person how
yeah.
you would then, but they don't care maybe.
They don't want, no, that's the point.
And
it's not an issue. It's not an issue.
And this is so much easier.
But
so,
I found myself, after reading this book and thinking about this, wanting to use V and ver just in conversation and viz, ver, V and viz, just in conversation between ourselves.
Yes.
Because it makes more sense. Like when I want to say, I don't want to say he or she. Like in writing, I don't mind he
slash
she or
yeah.
S slash he. So it's
yes.
sort of like sir or he, like that.
I
don't mind that kind of thing in writing, but in writing it has to flow. He or she did this is fine in writing, or if I'm just going to say it out loud, like, but you don't want to go, he or she did this and then talk to him or her and then
yes.
did that with
yes.
his or her thing. You
exactly.
just want to say V did this.
You know, in German, it gets actually more crazy.
Yeah.
And there is like the thing that that people come up with, you know, we have certain words like Lehrer,
yeah.
a teacher. And the female version is Lehrerin.
Yeah,
and
but if it belongs to her.
But if it's multiple, then it's Lehrerinnen. So, because...
And if it belongs to multiple ones of them.
No, because if you want to include male and female, you have to put Lehrer...
Yes.
...star, innen.
Yeah.
And then this is
not... Oh, that's always the funny when you get a letter and they don't know who they're addressing. So
Lehrerinnen und Lehrer.
Yes, so they're addressing everyone, so they have to
yes.
put it in there. No, but again, if it's to one specific person,
yeah.
so it's like personal, I think there is a problem with English. And I don't think science fiction writers are going to solve it just by coming up with their own ideas
nah.
and throwing
it
together in this. Because unfortunately, this is not an exploration of gender. It's an experiment with personal...
Language.
It's a language experiment, which
yeah.
is a failure. Unlike Ancillary Justice, which was an experiment with gender because you were removing gender... Here, you just have some gender-neutral characters.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but that's been done before. And in this way, it just got in the way of the story.
Also, the thing is, you know, in the other books, there was often quite clear. Okay, we are now in the she section where everyone is she.
Yeah.
And then also, we have a section where it's he and she.
Yeah.
So, and here, we had he and she, e, and yeah. everything mixed together. I never was sure
why?
What is going on right now.
No,
who is what? Why is...
I always understood an E.
I never understood. Like, sometimes, and the mother was she, and then that person from that was E
yeah,
and not...
It was just when you're...
No,
the thing is, that's why it wasn't an exploration of anything.
It was way
because
too...
as you were introduced to people, some people were introduced as he... And from then on, they were he. Some people were introduced as she, and then from then on, they were she. And some people were introduced as E, and then from then on, they were E or
but
V.
Sometimes like they were talking about people.
Yes, but
and
it never changed.
So
it was. It might have been. It might have been confusing, but it was not an exploration of anything.
No.
Nobody was like, "Oh, from now on, I'm not going to be he or she. I want you to call me E because I don't want to be known as that." That was never. Nobody was like, "Oh, up until now, I've been E, but can you call me she or he from now on?" There was nothing. There was no exploration of is there a biological route to this? Are some people in this culture just born without like with two genitals or one like there was no exploration of any of this. It was sort of like, oh, these people just have personal pronouns like this, and other people have personal pronouns like this, and other people have pronouns like this. If at the end of it she'd been like, oh, and she'd been called she all the way through, and then she was like, oh, and then I got an erection, I'd be like, oh, right, so all this time you have been physically, genetically a male, but you've just been calling yourself she, and it's been your choice to be a she this entire time. Mm. I'd be like, oh, that's interesting. A bit like Nine Fox Gambit, where she was like, oh, and then she had an erection. Because at one point in that book, she was like, oh, yeah. I am a she and I having an
did
erection.
Did you realize there was no sex in this book?
No sex. It was like I say, it was so twee. Like it was, I read this fun tweet. It's sort of like, if you ever wondered how long people can spend together and get so close, but then never touch or never do anything, just read young adult fiction. It read like young adult fiction, but then there was like, oh, and there's this thing, and they sat together on the bed, and people come in and smirked, and were like, oh, are you interrupting anything? I was just like, why haven't you finger banged yet? Like, what is going on?
But there
like,
was never any emotional thing between anyone.
There was like, oh, the captain and this guy were great, and it was sort of like, oh, did you do anything on that really, really long, boring 3-week transport trip where you're in close quarters and you
just
had nothing to do except fuck, and it's like, oh no, we never did anything. I'm like, fuck, just fuck, like just fuck, it's fine, it's
to
fuck.
That was not in the book at all.
But that's the thing, like in the end gender didn't come into it.
No,
like it was not an exploration, and that's again, it was another disappointing thing. It's sort of like you had a pronoun, an exploration of pronouns and stuff, but then nothing else,
which was quite
anyway,
annoying.
We've ranted enough. We're almost an hour.
Let me read one sentence, and I think that sentence is quite telling about the book.
Yeah.
His daughter is Tik Yuzin's mother. She's not a clutchmate of mine, but she is like a clutchmate to my clutchmate. Do you understand? Even though she's not my clutchmate, even though she has her own clutch, a different one, I still feel that. My clutchmate is a human, and I cannot help but love his daughter because he does.
Yes. I must admit, this is a confusing passage because it is an alien who lives under the water, who lays eggs and stuff like that. It is a little bit tricky, but when you're reading that, you're like, what am I getting out of this? I do understand.
Exactly. And it keeps repeating words and words and words. And I don't get it doesn't transport anything.
Yes, I think what they're trying to do is like, oh, and to make these people sound foreign, we're going to make them speak weirdly. The problem was that, like, oh, yeah, at one point she's got this translation machine. She's like, oh, yeah, and he keeps... And it's like, it doesn't add anything to it. It's just like, oh, I'm just going to make this their plans, like, that when they're talking among themselves, it's just going to be hard for us to understand. Like, there was no reason for it. And this whole thing, oh, it's an alien, so they must speak weirdly. The problem is the humans in this book speak like aliens to me.
Yeah.
You understand? Like, if the people that the humans that we're meant to be identifying with and living with and doing this kind of stuff, if I just don't... if, like, those people read like aliens to me because of their weird language and just bad writing, how am I meant to find the aliens interesting if the humans aren't even human enough to identify with? Anyway, we've gone on long enough.
Yes.
We have. Sorry about the rant. And like I say, I come down with the position that if you're going to use gender pronouns, either use V, ver, and viz, or... come up with something which is as elegant as that, but not as confusing, but you've got to do the work.
Yeah.
And you've got to use it for something. Or, like Alistair Reynolds does, just have a gender-neutral character. And it's like, oh, yeah, ver, viz, It's fine, and it's just like it's just another character, but we don't know if they're male or female or if other. Like doesn't matter.
I think if we want to actually make a difference, we would just have to start using those words in all day language.
Well, I kind of feel like I do.
Yes.
Like when I want to talk about someone who, exactly. And I don't know. Well, this is the problem. In last point of this, do we need two different gender-neutral personal pronouns? One for people that we don't know the gender yet, but they're going to have a gender, or for people who don't want, like, does someone call themselves V or Ver and Viz? Like, do they call themselves that and then we use it? Or is there a pronoun where for unsure yet? Like, yeah. We don't know the gender yet. And the gender could turn out to be V, well, or it could be he or she. So yeah. there is an issue there.
You know, in Germany, there was just a high court decision that there will be a third gender introduced.
Yeah.
Because it's
well,
not...
Well, no, it's not a third gender. It's a third option for birth certificates.
Yes.
Yes.
So, but then you would have to come up with just words, with like... Like, a person that doesn't have a gender...
What is he doing?
Well, you can't say that.
No, exactly. So,
but that is quite interesting, and I think we should implement it in our language.
Okay, from now on, let's use V, Ver, and Viz. Yeah?
V, Ver, Viz.
Not Vim, and not Vers.
V, Ver, Viz.
Yes.
Whoa. Okay, that's like...
And Verself.
Okay, I will try.
You don't... I'm not saying you have to. I'm just saying, for me, that after all my research and my thinking, I was translating it into my head, into V and Ver and Viz, just to get
and
through
it. And I think
it.
These are the best words, but it's just a learning process that I have to remember, because language is so implemented, especially, like, these little words.
Yes, of course. It's just so ingrained. But I don't think it'll catch on, because people have been trying this, but if anything does catch on, it's not going to be ear... M, air, and E. Because you're just reducing... You're reducing the utility of the words. You're making the words harder to understand to introduce new and unusual meaning. And that's never going to work.
Yeah. So people out there, you see, we got inspired by the book, but not like...
Yes. So we had a good rant about it. Maybe I'll post a picture on Twitter about my about this
the
spreadsheet.
Yeah.
How it doesn't work.
Yeah,
and I left out E, A, E, I, O, and U, because you can't, like, again, there needs to be a hard sound or recognizable root to the word to attach the declensions to get the possessives and the whatever's the... I can't even remember they were here.
Anyway, there's lots of research that you did, and I got lots of blogs about this, and it's quite interesting to look into it, actually. Like, to really look into it.
Yes, but
it's pretty good.
There was this one list where it goes from, what does it say, from 1792 all the way up until 2015. No, 1992. It says, after this point... I'm not going to, it's just a partial, they're not going past 1992. Since the internet, there's been so many more explorations of this.
Obviously.
Anyway, I'll link to some of these on Twitter. Right, that's it.
So,
email me, luke@juggalo.net. I do reply to every email.
And go to Goodreads, tell us your...
Yeah.
Your opinion about this book.
But check this out, 3.92 rating.
I don't get it.
How can anyone read this book?
Up until 70%, I thought this was there were things happening, let me put it this way. And there were possible outcomes that I would have loved to see.
It could have pulled it off. And I think actually she did pull off that first series, because the first book I thought was good. The second book I was like, it's a bit weird going down and drinking tea. It's taking it in a bit of a different direction. But the third book, she pulled it out at the end with the third book. In this one, didn't get to the end.
It's all tangled. And it's so redundant, like everything gets repeated again.
Hair
and
clips,
again,
shoes.
And again.
Hair clips,
shoes,
hair clips,
shoes,
hair clips,
murder,
hair
murder,
clips,
murder.
Hair clips. This, who did the murder? Oh. Who did the murder? Who did the murder? Hair clips.
Air.
Who did the murder? Air.
Who's becoming the air?
Who's becoming? Am I going to take hair clips? What about this thing? You said it was like 17 mentions of hair clips through the book. 17 hair clip mentions.
Yeah.
And at the end, a whole load of the action was like, and then I dropped my hair clips on the floor. And they picked up the hair clips and put it in the secret compartment. I was like, hair clips in the secret compartment of the robot!
Gonna be useful! No, they just disappear. All right.
Anyway, follow me on Twitter, Luke Burge. Become my friends on Goodreads. Actually, that's what I was going to do here. Lindsay rated it 4 stars. Tudor, 4 stars. Veer rated it... rated it 3 stars. Christopher Murphy, 4 stars. What are all these 4-star ratings, guys? Guys and girls. Gender-neutral guys. Kate. Rate, yes, become our friends. Suggest books for us to read on the books you would like to see reviewed on the SFBRP Goodreads group. I'm on Twitter, Luke Burge, and Instagram, Luke Burge, and YouTube, Luke Burge. Juliana is on those places too, as Juliana Kunstendorfer, J-U-K-U Berlin. You'll understand it all.
Yeah.
Right. Thanks a lot for listening, and I'll catch you next time.
Goodbye.